Chapter 16. Copt. Miss Copt? And that is, he has told me under what conditions the picture was bought. She doesn't know anything about the conditions. That is, I added, hastening to restrict the assertion, she doesn't know my opinion of the picture. I thirsted for 5 minutes with Eleanor. Are you quite sure? Crozier took me up. Mr. Jefferson Rose does. Ah, I see. I thought you would, he reminded me. As soon as I'd laid eyes on the Rembrandt, I beg your pardon. I saw that it, well, required some explanation. You might have come to me. I meant to, but I happened to meet Miss Copt, whose encyclopedic information has often before been of service to me. I always go to Miss Copt when I want to look up anything, and I found she knew all about the Rembrandt. All, precisely. The knowledge was in fact causing her sleepless nights. Mr. Rose, who was suffering from the same form of insomnia, had taken her into his confidence, and she ultimately took me into hers. Of course. I must ask you to do your cousin justice. She didn't speak till it became evident to her uncommonly quick perceptions that your buying the picture on its merits would have been infinitely worse for everybody than your diverting a small portion of the museum's funds to philanthropic uses. Then she told me the moving incident of Mr. Rose. Good fellow, Rose. And the old lady's case was desperate. Somebody had to buy that picture. I moved uneasily in my seat. Wait a moment, will you? I haven't finished my cigar. There's a little head of Ilfiamingo's that you haven't seen, by the way. I picked it up the other day in Parma. We'll go in and have a look at it presently. But meanwhile, what I want to say is that I've been charged in the most informal way to express to you the committee's appreciation of your admirable promptness and energy in capturing the Bartley Reynolds. We shouldn't have got it at all if you hadn't been uncommonly wide awake, and to get it at such a price is a double triumph. We'd have thought nothing of a few more thousands. I don't see, I impatiently interposed, that, as far as I'm concerned, that alters the case. The case of Mrs. Fontage's Rembrandt. I bought the picture because, as you say, the situation was desperate, and I couldn't raise a thousand myself. What I did was, of course, indefensible, but the money shall be refunded tomorrow. Crozier raised a protesting hand. D, don't interrupt me when I'm talking ex cathedra. The money's been refunded already. The fact is, the museum has sold the Rembrandt. I stared at him wildly. Has sold it? To whom? Why, to the committee. Hold on a bit, please. Won't you take another cigar? Then perhaps I can finish what I've got to say. Why, my dear fellow, the committee's under an obligation to you. That's the way we look at it. I've investigated Mrs. Fontage's case, and well, the picture had to be bought. She's eating meat now, I believe, for the first time in a year. And they'd have turned her out into the street that very day, your cousin tells me. Something had to be done at once, and you've simply given a number of well-to-do and self-indulgent gentlemen the opportunity of performing, at very small individual expense, a meritorious action in the nick of time. That's the first thing I've got to thank you for. And then you'll remember, please, that I have the floor, that I'm still speaking for the committee, and secondly, as a slight recognition of your services in securing the Bartley Reynolds at a very much lower figure than we were prepared to pay, we beg you, the committee begs you, to accept the gift of Mrs. Fontage's Rembrandt. Now we'll go in and look at that little head. Dot dot. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.